Dealing with and protecting ourselves from the impacts of climate change can be an emotional struggle as much as anything else. That's a problem that public health workers are seeing more and more of. Ashley Consolo is one of them. She's a health geographer and researcher at Memorial University in Labrador in Canada. She spoke about this with my colleague, Carol Hills.
Ashley, we've just heard Joey Patterson express that she's struggling to deal emotionally with what she calls the chaos that's being experienced all over the planet right now. You have a term for that. You call it ecological grief. What do you mean by that?
So ecological grief is the grief or the pain or the sadness or suffering that people identify as experiencing when they lose a beloved ecosystem or species or place. So it's grief that situates us within the environment and within the ecosystems in which we live and which we need for our overall health, our wellness, our cultural identities, and our overall mental health.
How is ecological grief expressed?
There's a whole variety of ways that people experience it. So some are from acute impacts. So when we're thinking about major events like forest fires or flooding or major storms and hurricanes, the immediate grief that people feel or the immediate fear or anxiety that they're experiencing when they're at the front lines of these changes. It's also the grief that then comes after. So the sense of loss, the sense of fear, the ongoing impacts to mental health that come from these large events or these rapid events. There's also grief that comes from slow and creeping changes. So people that are seeing shifts in environments and ecosystems over months or years or decades and feeling that ongoing sense of pain and suffering of watching a beloved place change.
How does ecological grief differ from other types of grief?
Well, ecological grief is a very different form of grieving in some ways because many people have described it as a grief without end. So right now we're living in such a, as your previous person discussed, this chaotic world of loss. Some people have identified it as the sixth mass extinction. We know there's climate change, weather shifts, things that impact us on a daily basis, but also things that are going to impact our planet and the health and well-being of many species moving forward. In some ways, it's very similar to other forms of grief because it can be very isolating, it can be very debilitating, but simultaneously, it can also be something where we find comfort in others and in community. Another important difference about ecological grief is we don't have rituals to celebrate passing or death of more than humans in the same way that we do with humans.
Like funerals and other kinds of things.
Yeah, we don't have those similar sort of moments where we mark a loss or a passing, and where community often comes together to support the people who have lost.
Where have you witnessed ecological grief, and how is it exactly affecting people's mental health?
I began over 10 years ago to work with Inuit in the Nunatsiavut region of northern Labrador. And in this region, Inuit have been experiencing loss of sea ice, shifts in species, rapidly warming temperatures, changing access to places that are really important for spiritual and cultural reasons. And all of this has led to a rapid shift in culture, in livelihoods, and people's overall mental health. So one of the things that people would discuss is the pain and grief that they were feeling from the loss. And then also a loss of really mourning what it means for future generations.
You know, as you know, mental health is pretty complicated. A lot of people are already prone to depression or anxiety or fear or have specific life circumstances that can tip them toward these things. So how do you know what you're calling ecological grief is a real thing, that it's really these environmental disruptions that are affecting people's mental health?
Yeah, this is a great question, and it's actually one of the most pressing questions in the field right now. One of the ways that we identify it is through people's own self-reporting with experience. So sometimes people who have already present mental health challenges or who know they're susceptible to particular things will be able to identify to say, you know, these shifts in climate or this environmental loss that I experienced actually magnified my other experiences with mental health. Other people have been able to say, you know, I've never experienced this sense of ongoing pain or loss before. I've never felt so much anxiety about the change in the future. So a lot of it is from people self-reporting. Other pieces that we know are through more quantitative epidemiological studies that are happening around the world, where people are actually linking things like increase in mental health clinic visits to changes in temperature or increases in suicide rates at the population level per half degree or degree temperature increases. So there's lots of different ways that research is trying to, you know, tease these things out, because as you said, it's so complex. And oftentimes what we hear with things like ecological grief is sometimes people don't know what's affecting them. So they feel a number of different things, they have some strong emotions, but they're not really able to put sort of a, you know, an idea or a term to it. And sometimes when they hear about ecological grief, they can start to think about, you know, are there environmental things that are impacting me? Now, for some people, that's much more clear because they're at the front lines or they've experienced something like we discussed previously around wildfires or floods and are very acutely in the trauma moment. For other people, with those creeping and slow and gradual changes, or even just the knowledge of knowing how things are changing around the world, that's sometimes harder to tease out and harder to figure out about how it's actually impacting your daily lives, your overall sense of self, and your overall mental well-being.
You know, I was struck by another thing that Joey Patterson said in Carolyn Beeler's report that we just heard. She said, "I don't even know how to begin protecting myself and my life and my livelihoods from what is already starting to happen." So does starting to understand what you call ecological grief, does that seem to help people, giving a name to something?
It certainly does. So back in 2009, the Lancet Commission, which is a major health commission in the world, released a report where they identified climate change as the biggest public health threat of the 21st century. As we move forward, now people are really starting to think, you know, it might actually be mental health related to climate change that's the biggest public health threat. And so starting to have these conversations, starting to find ways to identify it, starting to name it, starting to find opportunities for people who are struggling to deal with the chaos and how to make sense of it, to start to find the language to talk about it, to express it, and also to have it taken seriously at the political level, in education systems, in, you know, public health and professional health practice. What we're grappling with as a humanity at the existential level is really not fully understanding what's actually happening. And I think sort of this idea around how do you even begin to grapple with a chaotic world and make sense is really where many, many people are at. And I think really where as a species, we're struggling. And what does it mean? So I think when we're trying to tease out what's other forms of mental health versus what's climate and environment related mental health, a lot of them overlap and a lot of them interact and interrelate, and some will magnify and some will actually assist us in building resilience as though they're protective factors. So I think the key is to understand that right now we are living in such a rapid transition, and that rapid transition will always have impacts and effects, and they will be different and they will be inequitable around the globe, but they are something that is going to be increasingly part of what it means to be human and what it means to be alive right now in this period of rapid transition.
Ashley Consolo is director of the Labrador Institute. Thanks a lot, Ashley.
Thanks so much, Carol.
That was The World's Carol Hills talking about ecological grief with Ashley Consolo, a public health researcher at Memorial University in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, Labrador.